Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Oh, please, 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 please tell me if you got something good, something positive, uplifting, we'd like to hear your story. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I got a couple of good stories. A new report is out from Giving USA, and they say that charitable giving in the United States has topped the $400 billion mark for the first time. That's very encouraging. They said giving from individuals, estates, foundations, and corporations reached an estimated $410 billion in 2017. That's a record-breaking charitable giving. Pretty awesome. The biggest increase was in foundations, so $1 billion from the Dell Technologies CEO Michael Dell and his wife, Susan, and also $2 billion from Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan. Other sectors with increases of more than 6% include education, health, arts and culture, environment, and animal welfare, public society benefit organizations, too. Despite the record-giving total, Americans' level of generosity no higher than it was a decade ago. So for the most part, you're seeing higher-end donations. And it could be thanks to, they say that it has somewhat to do with an increase in some of the taxes and what some people have seen. Also, in divisive times, philanthropic work is still solid, which is a good sign as well. But, hey... This is good. This is one of those good things. People are still giving to charities, and charities are still a big, vital part of our society. Keep in mind, too, next time you decide to give to a charity, just look up, I think it's called Charity Navigator, but you can look up the tax information of any charity, and from there, look at their tax records. I encourage you to do this. If you're on the fence and you don't know about an organization, there's tax forms you can view because they have to post these things, the nonprofits and the charities and things. And you can see how much money they're spending. Like, you can see how much money they raised and that came in, and then you can see how they're spending it. So if you see an organization that spends a lot of their money on salaries, you need to ask yourself, is it really going towards the mission of what I wanted the money to go towards? Sometimes the salaries are necessary. So if you're doing a lot of research, then the salaries are necessary because they're hiring doctors and they're spending money on things like that. If you think you're giving money to, like, homelessness, for example, you want to give your money to an organization that's helping the homeless, and you find out that the organization spends 60% of their money that comes in on salaries, then you may want to rethink and look at other organizations. Normally, you want to find an organization that has, you know, 10 to or less percent. That's a really good organization that spends on things like salaries. So look it up. Just go look it up. I would encourage you to do that. One other thing I found, and this is kind of surprising to me, there's a company that is fixing potholes across America. That company is Domino's. There's a website called pavingforpizza.com. This is from Fox News. Domino's Pizza is hitting the street to help smooth the ride home by filling in potholes. They're going out there with all the machinery you would need to fill them in. And the idea is to fill cracks, bumps, potholes, and other road conditions that can put good pizzas at risk after they leave the store. And was Domino's the same company that did the guarantee? So if for whatever reason you slip and fall getting out of your car and you flip upside down, you can actually take it back and get a new pizza. I'm pretty sure they were one of those companies that were advertising that was their thing. So right now, the chain has already started road repairs in only four areas, Bartonville, Texas, Milford, Delaware, Athens, Georgia, and Burbank, California. But what they want you to do is go online to the website pavingforpizza.com and put in your zip code in your city. If selected, the city will receive funds to help repair roads so pizzas can be home safely. So you're not going to see Domino's actually showing up and paving all the roads. It's basically a grant that they're doing. So that's pretty awesome. I think that's a wonderful great promotion that they're doing. And not often do you see companies investing in infrastructure because they want to make sure you get home safe. That is pretty cool. Some of the things that they're doing, like the bulldozer itself is branded. They got the, you know, paving for pizza on there, the little Domino's signal or symbol. And then they've been spray painting, like it shows them, kind of not necessarily graffiti. If you've ever done a stencil with spray paint, it's like they stenciled some Domino's on some of the areas. So far, they have, like, one city that they went to. Apparently, they fixed 40 potholes on 10 roads in 10 hours in Milford. That's in Delaware. So facing already harsh winter in Delaware, they wanted to get out there and start it. I think City of St. Louis would welcome any funds from Domino's in order to fix that. I'm going to have to hop on the break and go submit St. Louis for that. We could really use it. We got a lot of great Domino's locations here, too. If you got something good that happened to you, I'd love to hear it. 314-436-7900. 800-925-1120. Maybe you're doing a little happy dance if you're the City of St. Louis, too. A jury awarding Reggie Bush some money, but the City of St. Louis not part of it. I want to talk about that because I think it's... I'm so glad the city was dropped off of that suit. And Dan Perkins, TV radio personality, talking about the summit in Singapore. How does the president compare to other world leaders? I'll talk to him about that, too, and some reaction that we're seeing from the president's big summit coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now on Overnight America, Dan Perkins, an author, also his website, danperkins.guru. Excited to get your insight into what just happened last night in Singapore. Dan, thanks for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you for inviting me.
Right. What we're seeing here is the word historic thrown around every other sentence. And last night, I think things moved a little quicker than the media anticipated. They didn't think there would be anything put down into words onto paper and signed by President Trump and Kim Jong-un. What are your general thoughts of what transpired last night?
Well, I wrote a commentary, which should be out probably tomorrow. I write for 12 different blogs and some newspapers, so I don't know where it's going to be. My publicist is in charge of that. But the title of the working title, whether the publisher will use that whole title or not, but the working title is Donald Trump is not Neville Chamberlain going to speak with Kim.
Interesting.
Neville Chamberlain was the prime minister of England who went to call on Hitler to try and convince him to not invade Czechoslovakia. And he came back what he said was an agreement from Hitler that he wouldn't do certain things. And within 3 weeks after he signed the agreement, Hitler went in and invaded Czechoslovakia, and the rest is history. So it was an issue of appeasement. Donald Trump has not been appeasing at all to Mr. Kim. Now I'm going to make a statement, as I said to you in the pre-show. You'll not hear this. And maybe you'll hear it after I say it, but... right now, I know you're not going to hear this. Donald Trump is probably the best person of any president of the United States to hold this meeting. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, why is that?
Donald Trump is a multi-billionaire. And how did he get it? He got it by building condos, resorts, casinos, hotels, golf courses, office buildings, all over the world, which meant in order for him to get the ability to build all over the world, he had to meet with leaders all over the world. Three presidents failed at their first summit. Richard Nixon failed. Ronald Reagan failed because they have no experience.
Is this the meeting with Gorbachev?
Yeah.
Right.
The first meeting with Gorbachev where he walked away.
Exactly.
The point is that Donald Trump has been training all of his life to hold the job that he has, and that is the CEO of the United States government. So he's done all these deals. He's worked all over the world. He's met with these people. He was uniquely trained and qualified to be the CEO of the United States to sit down with Mr. Kim. And why the question then becomes, why did Mr. Kim decide to come to the table?
lifetime of experience is one of the selling points of Donald Trump outside of the political system. That was one of the reasons why people liked him. They said he can actually get these sort of things done, and they recognized that in him. It was the opposite of all the other politicians that came before him, even President Obama, who had very little experience, in which we got to see during the 8 years when he was president.
Right. Well, if you look at the most recent presidents, how many of them have ever been CEO of a public company? Or a private company.
Yeah, outside of Romney, you know, who ran for office. Outside of that, there really wasn't much.
No, and so they're not trained to go onto the world stage and sit down and talk in a negotiation on what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And because they were never trained. So the reason why those presidents failed was because they were ill-prepared, not from their foreign policy standpoint. They didn't have any business sense. Because mm-hmm. the reality is, the reason why Kim came to the table was reinforced by what happened at the G7 conference mm-hmm. in England just before he came to Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump said, America has been the piggy bank for the world in unfair trade, and that's going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Kim can... Do you remember the picture when Kim stepped over the 38th parallel into South Korea?
Yes, yeah.
When he was on his side of the parallel, the gross domestic product of the city of the country of North Korea was equal to the GDP of Reno, Nevada. So when he crossed over into South Korea,
mm-hmm.
the economy in South Korea is 53 times larger than the economy in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
What Kim needs, that Donald Trump can bring to him, is American business.
Right.
He can bring him access to the American marketplace and help build the factories and start to employ the people, improve the quality of life, and make a change in what's happening in North Korea. As a result, Kim continues in power, but those people who are in those prison camps are going to get released because they're going to need to be working in the factories.
Mm.
And Kim's going to bring North Korea, through Trump, onto the world stage as an economic power, not a military power.
Radio, TV personality, also author Dan Perkins joins us here on Overnight America. You probably have seen the people online that, I like to say, you got to throw a guy a bone when he does something good, but there's still some hardcore people on the left that just will refuse to do that. And they're saying this is just a giant conspiracy. He went all the way across the world to get North Korea to get rid of their nukes just so he can build a hotel there. That's what their grand conspiracy theory is. I don't understand this way of thinking. Would it really be worth him being able to negotiate something like this as if there's no benefit for North Korea to get rid of their nukes and join the rest of the world in commerce?
Yes, yes. And they're unwilling to see, they're unwilling to admit that Donald Trump is in fact presidential.
Mm-hmm.
They're unwilling to admit that their guy had none of the business experience that allowed the president of the United States to get things done. And mm-hmm. look what he's done in terms of employment, unemployment, growth. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta last mm-hmm. Friday, after the 3.8% jobs number, said mm-hmm. they think we could see between 4.5% and 5.3% GDP for the second quarter of 2018.
That's something
when
else.
When Barack Obama said we'll never see 3% again.
Oh, I know. Well, one of the interesting things that I thought was the way the different presidents handled North Korea. So between Clinton and Bush, it was throw as much money as you can at them, and that way they won't be so angry, and then maybe they'll turn their ways. President Obama was a little bit different. He didn't really throw as much money, but he didn't really talk or try to really work with them. One of the things that I thought was most interesting was the interview with Dennis Rodman on CNN, where he said for 5 years he was trying to get President Obama to meet with Kim Jong-un, who wanted to talk to the United States, and that request was ignored during the Obama administration. I was thinking, why would they not want to try to get nukes away from that area? And I think it goes back to what President Trump has always said, which was that when it comes to negotiations, when it comes to working with other foreign countries, that there have been so many bad deals set up before him. This shouldn't have gone this long. It shouldn't have taken this long to get to this point. But here he is trying to fix and clean up the mess.
Yeah, he said when he was running that his predecessors had kicked the North Korean can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand that there was a point that a lot of people didn't understand what was happening. If you look at the historical relationship over three generations of rulers, mm-hmm. and you look at the way they've conducted their business, they'll say, well, they'll rattle those sabers, and they say, well, maybe we should have a meeting, and then they don't go to the meeting.
Yeah.
And they rattle some more, and everybody wants to, quote, appease them.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to a meeting, and they say, well, give us money, give us food, give us, and we'll behave until the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump knew that. Trump knew that. That was their strategy. So when Kim went after Pence, Trump, who was extremely loyal to people who were loyal to him, could not tolerate the idea that they would attack the vice president's integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump said, screw it, there's not going to be a meeting. Well, Kim and the leaders in North Korea said, wait a minute, that's not the playbook. He's not supposed to do that.
That's not what we're used to.
He's supposed to give us money and do all this other stuff, and they said no.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly you saw Kim come back, realizing there is a new sheriff in town in Donald Trump, and he is calling the shots. Mm-hmm. And because he's a businessman, because he's a successful businessman, he's had failures, but he's also very successful. He knows how to negotiate. I tell people, if you haven't read The Art of the Deal, and I don't get any royalties, if you haven't read The Art of the Deal, you need to read it to understand how this man functions,
right.
Why he does what he does.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize how young Kim Jong-un is. He took over at a very young age, in his mid-20s, and mm-hmm. he's still very young. And
34.
He has a lot to gain. I always think that North Korea had everything to gain and everything to lose there, too. For the United States, for the most part, we have a lot to gain with the stability and peace in that region. We really don't have a whole lot to lose, very little for us to lose, because if we still continue to treat North Korea the way we're treating North Korea, it's, you know, it's not like we're losing out of that, but we have a lot to gain, too, with them. They have a lot more to gain to get onto the same commerce with the rest of the world and find peace in that region, too. There could be a lot of economic growth in that region, too. So I think hopefully they realize that. I think they do, and I think that's one of the big stepping stones that President Trump could hold hands to and say, hey, when it comes to economics, you have one of the best opportunities here. This is why you need to do it.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that I want to point out, I know we're almost out of time, but the other thing I want to point out is, again, nobody's talking about this. The implications of Mr. Kim closing down his nuclear capacity
mm-hmm.
spills over to Iran.
Because
North Korea,
mm-hmm.
North Korea has been a major supplier of technology and information for the Iranians to build their nuclear capabilities.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's a huge bonus. That's almost like the dominoes falling. I always thought that
yes.
once North Korea is dealt with, the next focus would be Iran. And to me, I think once Iran's focused on, if President Trump could wrangle Iran, I see conflicts like Venezuela would be almost something that he would tackle. If he could fit all of those things in one presidency, you got to be kidding me. That's in a lot of things he's cleaning up.
Well, the difference here on the Iranian situation is that there's a revolt going on within the country.
Mm-hmm.
The college students, the young people, and the middle class are revolting against the mullahs because of their aggressive stand.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could see a regime change in Iran, especially if Trump imposes the economic sanctions that cuts them. They're the third largest oil exporter in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cut them back, they're going to be in serious financial difficulty again.
Yeah. I like that President Trump wasn't doing this kumbaya moment with the G7. He was like, we mean business. I don't got time. I'm going to go get peace in North Korea. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand is that if you're a dairy farmer in the Midwest and you want to import a dairy product into Canada across mm-hmm. the border, the tariff is 235% to import American dairy products to Canada. 235%.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And the Brits ship a car over to the mainland, to the European Union. They pay a 10% duty, but when a car comes from Germany across the channel to England, there's only a 2% duty.
Mm.
So it's not just us. The whole world trade situation is screwed up.
Yeah,
and we need to get rid of a lot of these tariffs.
Uh-huh. Totally agree. Dan Perkins, your website, danperkins.guru. look for your article. I can't wait to read it when it comes out. We'll have to keep an eye out on all the great blogs that you write for. Where can people find some of the work that you're doing now, though?
DanPerkins.guru. You can actually see a lot of my commentaries.
Awesome.
All over.
Dan Perkins, thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Thank you.
Lots of reaction to this deal with North Korea. What's going to be working? What's not going to work? What the major concerns are? What are your major concerns? Or are you optimistic that this is something that's going to pan out? 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Wanted to play a couple of clips from the president who did some follow-up interviews in Singapore. He did one with Sean Hannity, and then he also did an interview with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. A couple of different clips. I thought both of them were good. One of the great questions Hannity asked during this interview was, what is it going to take? I mean, what is it going to take for them to get the sanctions lifted? So it's not going to happen automatically. I mean, they have to earn this sort of thing. What exactly should we be looking for?
The order. What would he have to do to get the sanctions lifted, to get the economic opportunity opened up for the people?
Well, what he wants is security, and I understand that, and he'll get that. And he wants to see if they can make that incredible location, because it's incredible. It's between China and South Korea. Think of it. I'm in the real estate business. Think of that.
You have, it's prosperous planning on building South Korea. Trump Tower, maybe
no,
the
but
first
think
thing?
How good a location is that? You have China, yeah, and you have South Korea, and he's got right in the middle of both of them, yeah, surrounded by water, okay? That's called, like, can there be anything better than that? And it's also beautiful land. It's incredible land. So I think he understands that. I told him about that today, and I think he really understands it.
And the Chinese wants happy to make it great. They're involved. The South Koreans, the Japanese.
I think so. I think, look, China can't be thrilled about a very strong group of people having nuclear missiles with great capability right next to them. So I really do believe they are. They were very, very helpful. I think maybe a little bit less so in the last 2 or 3 months because we're talking about trade and other things. And, you know, it's nothing's going to interfere with my relationship with President Xi because I have great respect for him. He's really a great man in the true sense. He's a great man.
What are the best stories you tell? And it's
well, that was the interview with Sean Hannity. So didn't really exactly say what it's going to take to get the sanctions lifted. It was a good question. But one of the things he said was that just imagine what the possibilities, the ideas of what could happen with North Korea in the future. If I were Donald Trump and I were sitting down with Kim Jong-un and I was trying to convince him what the upsides are to try to join the rest of the world and trying to grow, well, you got a lot of ability to show him, hey, I want you to think about what your buildings look like in North Korea that shut off to the rest of the world that no one else is able to see, unless you smuggle yourself in or whatever, you get some kind of special permission to go in there. Now look at where we are in Singapore. I want you to look at the tall buildings. I want you to look at the economic development that Singapore saw over a relative short amount of time. And imagine this is what North Korea could look like. You can build these giant cities and you can start booming on an economic standpoint. That's appealing to a 34-year-old. That's Kim Jong-un. He's young. Think about the trends that all major cities play towards. They look towards that millennial, that upper 20s to upper 30s, you know, 25 to 40 or whatever it may be. What do they all like? They all say, I love the big city feel. They are appealing. They appeal to living in these downtown metropolitan areas where they can walk to certain things. They like living in the high rises. They like knowing that they're around all kinds of different things. It's the city living that they like. And that's a great way to appeal to him. You could go and have your nukes, right? And then you can continue to be cut off from the rest of the world and you'll have none of that. Or you can change your philosophy. You can change your country into being another powerhouse in the region. And that's the only way you're going to do it, with help from all these other countries, opening up commerce and trading and legally, without these sanctions in place, working with these other countries. Think of the possibilities. Think of how rich your country will become. don't worry, you'll have security. There's going to be no nukes on the peninsula. And you'll have, it's not like here in the United States where people say, you know, what would happen if they had a gun grab and everyone said, okay, we're losing, the government said you have to turn in your guns. You'd be scared, right? I think that's the way North Korea feels. They feel scared, kind of like if you were forced to give up your guns in the government because you're afraid of a tyrannical government coming in and overpowering you or using their authority to take over. That's what you don't want to see. So I think that's what North Korea feels like if they give up their nukes. However, I think the scenario is a lot different, mostly because if they were to go down the other path, which is keep the nukes, things are going to get better for them. It's going to get actually a lot worse. So they're stuck at a fork in the road. They have to try to predict what is more likely to happen to them, economic prosperity and safety or nukes and safety. And I think the other way is much more likely for them. That's a way a logical person would think. Are they a logical person, Kim Jong-un? Not really. President Trump also sat down with George Stephanopoulos about denuking. How long is it going to take? That's a good question.
If you look at, if you talk to the experts, you can't just do it immediately.
Some
it takes a period
years.
Of time. Well, somebody said 15 years if you go rapidly. But when you're in a process of doing it, you're really dismantling. In other words, you can't do anything during that period of time. But they have a process for getting rid of nukes that does take, it's not like, oh, gee, we'll get rid of them tomorrow. It just can't be done scientifically. And, but they're going to do it. They're going to start immediately. They've really already started. They blew up a site, which was the real deal site. That was their big site. They've blown it up. They're getting rid of things that haven't been mentioned in the document. They're getting rid of certain missile areas, and they're not going to be sending missiles up. They're not doing
research. And they're
going
to announce that and confirm it as well, these additional steps?
Say it?
The North Koreans are going to announce these additional
steps
as well?
They're going to be announcing them very shortly. They might have announced them already, but this came after we signed. We agreed to that also. And I'm doing something that I've wanted to do from the beginning. We stopped playing those war games that cost us a fortune. You know, we're spending a fortune every number of months. We're doing war games with South Korea. And I said, what's this costing? We're flying planes in from Guam and we're bombing empty mountains for
And he talked about that too in the press conference last night. Okay, that's another way to save some money. We're giving more money to our military. We're trying to allocate the resources in a way where we can be helpful. We've depleted our military over the years with President Obama looking for ways to cut military spending to appropriate to other places where people were, so we want to give more money to global warming initiatives across the world and we'll take it away from our military. Like, is that how you're going to try to balance things out? The president looking at it a different way, military important, but he's saying also that maybe it's probably a good idea that we save where we can. And this is kind of a win-win. One of the interesting things that Dan Perkins mentioned at the end of the interview we just aired was if North Korea is supplying parts or like plutonium or whatever they may be supplying to Iran, in order for them to give up this program and they stop the supply chain to Iran, we also have issues with when it comes to nuclear capabilities. This is a big bonus. It's like almost like an auxiliary plus to the deal, because then that helps our negotiations to get them back on track too when we start moving down the line there. I think that's going to be one of the huge key points to it all. And George Stephanopoulos also was talking about how can you trust him.
George, I'm given what I'm given, okay? I mean, this is what we have, and this is where we are, and I can only tell you from my experience, and I met him, I've spoken with him, and I've met him, and this was, as you know, started very early, and it's been very intense. I think that he really wants to do a great job for North Korea. I think he wants to denuke. It's very important. Without that, there's nothing to discuss. That was on the table at the beginning, and you see a total denuclearization of North Korea, so important, and he wants to do the right thing. Now, with all of that being said, I can't talk about, it doesn't matter. We're starting from scratch. We're starting right now.
We're starting from scratch. Kevin calling in from Florissant. Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
That's great to know. Well, I got two things I wanted to talk to you about. First thing I want to talk about last night's story of Kim Jong-un and Trump agreeing together.
Right.
And the second story, I want to talk about something good that last night.
Okay.
So which one do you want first?
Let's do, we don't have a ton of time, so let's do the first one first.
The Trump and Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, your thoughts on that.
Well, I thought last night was pretty cool, and I like what you said, that this is wonderful to get to see something like this during the overnight. And what I want to really ask you is, what we saw last night, is this the, you know, agreement of new friendship to, you know, the United States and North Korea? And is there going to be no more missile attacks, or can we borrow some of theirs in case something happens? Will we agree, you know, something with them, like nothing will happen to this country? So it looks like the two majorly agreed something, but is this like a new friendship era to the two countries now?
I guess we could answer that in about 10 years. It's going to take time before we can answer that precisely.
Right.
I mean, time will tell. If they denuke the whole peninsula, okay, that's a big first step. If they return the remains of the Korean War veterans, that's another huge step. If they release the South Korean prisoners, that's another huge step. So if it sounds like the president, that he was already going to go back and destroy, North Korea was already going to destroy some of their missile sites, that's a huge first step too. We have a lot of steps in a row. So if he does all of these things, okay, and then they open up commerce, or at least they start getting to the point where they can lift sanctions, and all of a sudden North Korea is starting to figure things out for themselves, then we can say, yes, this is the start of a new era. Until all these things meet, I don't know if we can say yes yet. There's still, it's still way
it
too early.
Like the two were like really having an amazing time, and it looks like Kim Jong-un came, like, you know, agreed something to Trump, and it looked like they liked one another, each other.
I think there's a lot of hand-holding. I think President Trump was trying to logically help him figure this out. And I think that's what was happening. Kim Jong-un, a little overwhelmed by this all. He's not used to negotiating with all these other countries. So I think when President Trump goes in there, hand-holding was necessary, yeah.
So do you think Trump asked Kim Jong-un to stop the missile attack or ask something in a friendly way so we can agree something together? Is maybe that something that we did not hear?
Well, we're not going to be able to hear the recordings for a lot of the conversations anyway.
Right.
But I don't know. The stuff that the president was asking him, he could have added those on. I don't know if the North Koreans were voluntarily saying they're going to blow up some of their missile sites. But if that's the case, more power to them. But if the president requested it and they agreed, it goes to show you that a lot of this credit needs to go towards President Trump if it was his suggestions that made him react this way. So, All right, what was the second thing you're going to say, Kevin?
All right, well, last thing I want to say was something good. It happened last night's Cardinal baseball game, on Monday night's game.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, in all the time I've been to a ball game or a Cardinals game, I never liked, you know, win anything. So, like, you know, like how they do those games in between innings and stuff, and they pick the fan or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I was one of the lucky ones.
Oh, yeah, you're on the big screen and everything.
Yeah, and they picked me, and I was sitting in the Redbird Club in section 248, and a team of Redbird, of two of them workers, came down, and they said, hey, you're going to be the lucky whatever during the bad boy Moore's inning. And it was during the sixth inning, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? You know?
Yeah.
And they put me up there later, and all I had to do was demonstrate, like, pulling a lawnmower, you know?
Ah, okay. And dance move or something?
Yeah, just a little something. And I had a nice, good cheer of fans right there in my section, and they really gave me a round of applause and everything. They think I did not a bad job, and I got, like, over $250 worth of merchandise.
Hey, way to go, Kevin. Congrats on that. That is something good. Awesome.
That is something good. You're right.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Hey, you too, and have a good night.
You too. Well, that was good. Hey, that is something good at the Cardinals game. I think I would be too afraid to do something like that. This is Overnight America, KMOX. These nights go by so quick anymore, don't they? I had a couple of local stories I wanted to mention, the whole bear thing. How crazy is this? You hear this in the news, Alex Degman. The watch out for bears time of year. There's bears that are sighted, photographed, It's scary. Only once have I seen a bear outside of a zoo. I was in northern Michigan driving around, and this bear was just sleeping in the middle of the road as if there was nothing wrong with the world. Little tiny baby bear. Well, not tiny, but small. Not a full-sized. I don't know what kind of a bear it would have been. Black bear, maybe. And as I was approaching on the road, I noticed it, and I was slowing down. The bear got up when it saw me, ran off into a field, attempted to climb a tree but couldn't, and then continued to run off. I told my dad about that. I said, oh, man, I saw a bear up here. How about that? And he says, you know what that means, though? He's like, don't forget, when there's a baby bear, that means there's a mama bear somewhere. So you have to be real careful to keep your eye out. Some wisdom right there. Some people have been posting tips online on what to do. We have confirmed a sighting, one, possibly two bears in the Weir Mobile home community. Please bring all pets inside and pick up any pet food you may have sitting out. That's important. You're basically baiting the bear if you're leaving the food out. It's like trying to find a way to attract raccoons to your property as you leave open food around for them. And keep an eye out for them whenever you go outside. Some people are going out with flashlights and scanning the area to make sure they're not waiting if they have to go outside. I always wonder about that in my home. I have this pool in the backyard, and I got a pool pump and everything, so I got to go turn the pump off at night if I leave it on. So when I go to the backyard, it's dark. You know, I'm out there with the dog, but it's dark, and I always wonder, you know, what happens if I step on a bunny I don't see because it's dark or something like that? Not once did I ever imagine if I had to run into a bear, what would I do? The bear situation, something else. No, I'll stay away from them. There's another story about Reggie Bush. He was awarded $12.5 million here in St. Louis. So St. Louis and its sports authorities are off the hook. They took them off. Thank goodness the city of St. Louis isn't responsible for paying this. The LA Rams are on the hook for the money that was filed by the former running back. The Post-Dispatch posting this, but it's on KMOX.com right now. You can see it. They got a picture of Reggie Bush inside. It looks like a Bills jersey. He looks so different than what I remember from him in college. Bush, who played for the 49ers at the time, suffered a season-ending knee injury in 2015 when he slipped on what he called the concrete ring of death at then Edward Jones Dome. His lawyer argued that he was up for a 3-year contract. He had that season-ending injury, thus hurt his ability, and the dome was negligent for their problem with this concrete area, which he slipped and hurt himself on. Now, the Rams argued that there was no way they could have foreseen the dangerous condition, that no one's been injured there in 20 years until that season. The team is going to file a motion for a new trial. When I read this, and if it was a jury, and it was a jury that awarded him $12.5 million, I wonder if the jury knew that it was solely the Rams that would be responsible for paying Reggie Bush. And then they said, let's stick it to the Rams because we still hate those jerks. If that's the case, I really don't care. I don't know if that influenced the jury or not. I'm sure in a court of law, they probably coached the jury. Of course, your hatred for the Rams can't be part of your decision. But it would make it very easy for me to say guilty. If I was just hearing it and I heard their case, yeah, they should have covered it up. Apparently, as part of the lawsuit, they said that the NFL was the one that really dictated anything that happened on those game days. So even if they wanted to cover it up, it was the NFL that would have to dictate then. It was just them using it for their games. Plus, what happened afterwards? They said 2 weeks later, they covered it all up with some padding. So they realized it was a mistake. They tried to cover their tracks. Well, I wasn't covering their tracks, but they tried to rectify the situation. But, you know, it's a little bit too little too late. I know sometimes accidents happen. It just depends if you're responsible for them or not. Were there damages? Like, was Reggie Bush actually damaged? Not maybe physically, which he was. I mean, he was injured and hurt. But was he damaged for his ability to make money in the future? And the answer, according to this jury, is yes. Odds are if he played the entire season, he could have got a bigger contract. If that's true, and I think the jury agrees, which it sounds like it's a very reasonable expectation that if you're hurt, it hurts your long-term ability to make money and get another contract, then yes, that would throw you off. So Reggie Bush, take his money from the LA Rams. I have no sympathy for the Rams. The Rams, as far as I can concern, they can lose all their money and I'd be happy with it. Who cares? Cronky family and all that. All right, coming up in the next hour, more hatred towards the Rams. Not really. I'm just happy that they're going to be paying there. I want to talk a little bit more about the Singapore summit. There's a couple of things I wanted to get to that I didn't get a chance to play just here. But I also want to talk to Brian Maloney. He's from the Media Equality Project, Bias in the Media. Yeah, can you believe it? I talk about it all the time. Well, there's specific groups out there that are always documenting these sort of things. And I had a great conversation with him, which we're going to play coming up here in the next hour on Overnight America. Don't forget, you can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Ryan.Recker@KMOX.com is my email address. And better yet, if you have a mobile phone or a device there, download the podcast or subscribe to the podcast. Open up that program on your phone and just look for Overnight America. Hit subscribe, download now. We'll see.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.